Hello, friends. We're going to continue with our Raise and Initiations webinar commentaries. We are working on Program 31. We've been talking about the Antikarana in quite a detailed manner, and it will continue to be detailed. This is the section in the book, Raise and Initiations, where he really does go into the building of the Antikarana, the bridge of shining mind stuff, the seven levels which can be touched, including eventually the level of divine consciousness, which is beyond the present focus of the monad. And those are led to, we understand, by the seven levels of the seven subplanes of the mental plane. This bridge is impressed by the Trinity, three aspects which have been active in a previous solar system, the first major solar system of a number of solar systems. Ours is the second major. And so we begin here with program number 31. We've just discussed the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit aspect, whether or not the Mother aspect should be considered one with the Holy Spirit or as a fourth aspect depends upon our perspective.
Let's get this straight.
The mental plane, which must be bridged, is like a great stream of consciousness, or of conscious substance. We have been told, of course, that a plane, or subplane, and a state of consciousness are equivalent. And across this stream, the Antikarana must be constructed, as if to receive from a higher level of impression and not to be caught in the phenomenology of the mental plane itself. So let us note a plane and a state of consciousness are equivalent. The mental plane, which must be bridged, is like a great stream of consciousness or of conscious substance. The substance itself seems to have consciousness, a certain type of reactivity, a certain type of, we can call it mental sentiency, reactivity on a higher level than astral reactivity. And across this stream, the Antikarana must be constructed. It's something of a funnel which allows impression from higher realms, and we've seen buddhic, atmic, monadic, and even logoic impression allowed. This is the concept which lies behind this teaching and behind the symbolism of the path. In a way, the Antikarana is the path. In a way, are an extension of that Antikarana. It is the means by which the monad in extension may rise to its original focus. The monad in extension may rise to its original monadic focus via this bridge of shining substance, this bridge of brother of light, bridge of light. Sometimes I don't know which of these abbreviations I've actually created. Bridge of light. Before a man can tread the path, he must become the path himself, which means that within his energy system there must be extensions which reach to the highest aspect of his nature, that is, to the monad. He is the monad. He is the monad in extension, but he is, in a way, the immersed monad. And there has to be woven from his energy configuration. An energic means of return, a method by which his consciousness can change and refocus at different points of tension all the way along that path of return to his origin. Out of the substance of his own life, I suppose, as a personality and then as a soul-infused personality, he must construct this rainbow bridge, this bridge of shining light substance. How did DK put it? Bridge of shining mind stuff. I think we'll put that in here just to remind ourselves. Out of the substance, the bridge of shining mind stuff. Okay. Of his own life, he must construct, via meditative and magical methods, his rainbow bridge, this lighted way, this path of energies vibrating at different frequencies, but all resonant enough to each other to allow a smooth transition from one point of tension to another. Every level of vibration can be the home for a specific point of tension. So as we ascend, we are rising via more intense points of tension. He spins it. Now, of course, that's probably an occult hint, you know, something about the method of the construction, the spiral method of its construction. He spins it and anchors it as a spider spins a thread along which it can travel. And the spider, too, has to throw that thread forth, I suppose, to anchor it so that he can travel upon it. Each of his three divine aspects contributes to that bridge, life, quality, and appearance, or will, love, and mind. And the time of this building is indicated when his lower nature is. I'm not sure what that word zodiac is doing there. Let's just say, and this is before the second initiation. It can begin in earnest. So the time of this building is indicated when his lower nature is one, becoming oriented, regulated, and creative. Rightly oriented. I suppose we can look at Sagittarius there being a sign active in the first two initiations especially. Regulated by the mind and creative in the sense that the throat center is involved and the head center is involved, and it is becoming possible to make arrangements within the thought forms of the mind, arrangements which are meant to reflect the arrangements of the archetype of plan and purpose. Really, the archetype belongs more to purpose than to plan. I suppose plan is ever shifting, but the archetype of purpose remains constant. So each of the three divine aspects contributes to that bridge. Now, that's such an important idea here. You know, we have the creative thread, the consciousness thread, and the life thread. And that that is the threefold link we call the Antikarana. The Sutra Atma, the consciousness thread, and the creative thread. Okay, let's see. I think I've eliminated something by mistake, so I'll get rid of that. And we'll try to go back here. Okay. Each of the three divine aspects contributes to that bridge. and the time of this building is indicated when his lower nature is, etc. Each of the three aspects contributes to that bridge. The lower nature is becoming stable, oriented, creative rather than strictly procreative, recognizing and reacting to soul contact and control because, let's put it like this. Whoop. I'll get my... Now, Mercury's gone direct today, so I have no excuses. Okay, recognizing and reacting to soul contact and control. The soul-infused personality is that which fills the Antikarana. There must be soul infusion or the stages of Antikarana building cannot occur. And sensitive to the first impression of the monad. This sensitivity is indicated where there is. Now, this is interesting because it is usually at the third initiation, that there is true conscious contact with the monad. But he's telling us something important here. But he is telling us that around the time of the second initiation, before, during, a little after, this bridge of light, let's see, I think I'm going to make an abbreviation here. I think, yeah, let's see if I can do that. Sorry for the delay, I'm just trying to catch my pace here. Okay, bridge of light. And we'll do it this way. Bridge of light. B-R-O-L, okay. Okay, this bridge of light can be constructed. So, what does this mean? There can be monadic sensitivity before the third initiation. That's really what he's telling us. Sensitivity to the first impression of the monad, and that is not really the same as having a full conscious rapport with that which the monad is and represents. Rather, it is something, DK has told us that, you know, we are to become aware of Sanatkumara, we are to become aware of identification, all of this following the second initiation. So this monadic impression, it does, let's just say it does come early. It comes earlier than we may expect, than we may imagine. Some people think, well, you know, we cannot really speak of the monad until we have taken the third degree, but the taking of the third degree is a kind of a consummation of shambolic presence within the consciousness and energy system of the disciple initiate. And the first impressions of the monad have to come earlier. I just want to emphasize that point to really, when we begin with the Antikaranic curriculum, we are working on that which connects us to our origin, to the monad, as the third initiation, third meditation, it's called the Acme of Alignment in Discipleship in the New Age, tells us, shows us, demonstrates for us. The connection there is all the way to the monad, but there were many of DK students who had not yet taken the second initiation. So it shows us that this first impression can come even, I suppose, before the second initiation, though I would say it probably has to be somewhat in sight due to the resonance with the number six, you know, the sixth ray, the sixth plane for the second initiation, and the sixth plane for the monad. Numerical resonance kind of shows that. So this sensitivity is indicated. So this is, here we find the requirements for monadic sensitivity. Submission to the will of God, where there is submission to the will of God or of the greater whole. We can say that this is a preamble to the sixth initiation in which the Christ said, not my will, but thine be done. So the three and six are definitely connected. He's told us about the connection of one and two, of two and four, and of three and six. So submission to the will of God or of the greater whole, unfoldment of the inner spiritual will, overcoming all obstacles. Well, we can see from the map that the spiritual will has, the will aspect of the monad has a direct connection with Atma, which is the spiritual will and which descends by whatever manner it does descend. Those, just because we have a chart doesn't really mean we understand how one the energy of one plane descends to another, to the sacrifice petals here in red. Okay, this has been colored in by Keith Bailey of AUM. You know, he's given us the representation of the different colors, so things are easier to see. There are truly, you know, no red petals. It does seem to be the one color that is left out of the general coloring of each petal, although there may be some sort of red hue for the first ray souls, but not apparently red in the petals. But here it's a good illustration of what we want to understand, that is the connection of spiritual will to the sacrificial will of the soul. And of course, it seems that the will aspect of the monad has a direct connection and presence within the jewel and the lotus, but also it has the more mediated connection with Atma, the home of spiritual will, and going to the sacrificial will. Actually, all of this originates in the monad, these connections, and extends into the triad and thence into that shroud of the true soul, of the true ego, which is the spiritual triad, that shroud of the true ego, which we call the causal body or the egoic lotus. This monadic sensitivity seems to be such an important idea, and we can begin to cultivate this, can we not? I mean, if we're reading these books and we're reading them with intent and with sincerity and with the determination really to learn something, just the fact that we can stick with them tells us something about our ability to begin to develop this sense of being, which we can call monadic sensitivity. So submission to the will of God or the greater whole, you know, what is the good of the whole and not just my own individual good? If he cares not for the suffering and pain of the lower self, if it is immaterial to him whether happiness comes his way or not, if the sole purpose of his life is to serve and save the world, and if his brother's need is for him of greater moment than his own, then the fire of love is irradiating his being and the world can warm itself at his feet. And then another factor which indicates monadic sensitivity is cooperation with the purpose of the hierarchy, the interpreting will of God as expressed in love. this is interesting, an interesting sort of adjective there, the word interpreting. Purpose is found on the monadic plane and beyond. And, you know, I think we have to ponder on this word. It is necessary for the plan to interpret the will and purpose of deity and to express that in love, because the members who do interpret this will of God are the members of the hierarchy of love. But just how the will of God can be interpreting rather than interpreted, I think we have to ponder on this. Of course, as the will descends, it will bring with it the interpretation according to purpose of all that is registered in consciousness. If we do, in other words, let's put it like this, and it's an idea with which we are familiar. If you do the will of God, whoops, that's not will of God, you shall know. So doing leads to the correct interpretation of that which is seen and experienced. Okay, so, you know, somehow, I don't know, time has passed, and it's been a while since I've read with real care this section of the book, and I find things here that I have forgotten, or which perhaps I never really took in the way I should have. So the whole idea here is that at the time of the building of the Antikorana, the lower nature is becoming oriented, regulated, and creative. I suppose we could say that of each one of us. Recognizing and reacting to soul contact and control. And I suppose we could say that of each one of us who persists in the reading and the application of these books, and sensitive to the first impression of the monad, and that is something, well, at least in my attempt to teach the wisdom, which I've been trying to do, lo, these 50 years, I guess, in my attempt, I have attempted to bring people into those meditative circumstances where they can become thus impressionable to the monad and to this sense of being. And so, so this is telling us what's happening at the time of the building. So this tells what is happening at the time of the building of the Antikorana. I would like to be able to absorb all of this and have it be a permanent factor in my consciousness all the time, but you know, what DK knows, he knows, and it is voluminous, and so we have to focus on perhaps a small area which can grow and widen out into that ring pass knot, which is thought and understanding embraces. Okay, so monadic sensitivity, right. I have enumerated these three responses to the totality of the divine aspects because they are related to the Antikorana and must become defined and conditioned upon the mental plane. Well, we use our mind to define just about everything, and the manner in which these aspects can reach the consciousness of man are conditioned by his mind. So the three aspects are these. The rightly oriented personality, the personality which is interactive with the soul, and which not only contacts, but is increasingly controlled by the soul, and monadic impression. All of these three are involved in the building of the Antikarana. They are related to the Antikarana. Certainly as the Antikarana bypasses the soul, we begin to find monadic expression of some kind. We are to learn at the second degree to express the monad. Well, it would seem that an Antikarana built to a certain extent would be necessary if we are really to do that. They are related to the Antikarana and must become defined and conditioned upon the mental plane. And he's trying to illuminate our mental understanding of these matters so at least we have a good, solid scaffolding from which to build into or build towards these more subtle realms of apprehension. So, there are to be found expressing themselves in substance, what? The lower concrete mind, and he gives other words for it, the receptive common sense, the sixth sense. Actually, you know, oftentimes when we talk about the sixth sense, we really mean the seventh sense, the esoteric sense, the intuition. But when we combine all the five senses and are able to relate and correlate them, and to remember and to anticipate using that correlation, then we have a common sense, a sense which is in common in a way to all the five. The highest aspect of the form nature, because we have etheric, physical, astral, and then of course mental is the highest, the reflection of Atma, the spiritual will, and their numerical resonance will give us the key. You know, Atma is on the third subplane of the cosmic physical plane from above, and the mind, the mental nature in its two aspects, is on the third cosmic physical subplane, third from below. So always when there is a numerical resonance, there is a means of connection, or a means of transmission. So the reflection of Atma, the spiritual will, and, you know, we are asked, will you please mind me? You know, how often a child is told, I seem to remember it from my early childhood, why won't you mind? Well, you know, why won't you obey my will is really what it means. The throat center here moving up from the sacral center, where the mental elemental is first found, is involved in the expression of this mental elemental, but of course it's involved in much more, and it has 16 petals which correlate with 16 energies of the soul if we count the permanent members of the atomic triangle and also the jewel and the lotus. So it's going to be a reflection there. It's a form-building aspect, but so is the causal body on its own level, a form-building aspect, and this connects with knowledge. So these different aspects are to be found expressing themselves in substance. They are there to be found and must become defined and conditioned upon the mental plane. They are there to be found expressing themselves. There are to be found. There are there to be found expressing themselves in substance. They are there to be found. Okay. All of these factors will express themselves in mental substance. The soul certainly will, the higher mind will, and even the monad will. We are told an interesting thing, you know, that the monadic ray influences the mind, and that one of the keys to the monadic ray is the condition of the mind and perhaps its ray, or at least the way its ray is being used, because of course it's possible to have a monad of a particular ray and have a mind on any ray. But there is a hint, there's a key. The monadic ray definitely does influence the lower mind, And the ray of the soul influences the astral body, whatever the ray of the astral body may be, and the ray of the personality influences the physical body, I suppose the etheric physical body, whatever that ray may be. Okay. I find myself really wanting to ponder these things. So anyway, they are there to be found expressing themselves in substance. The lower concrete mind, the individualized mind, now that's the soul or spiritual ego. I suppose there is also a spiritual ego, the true ego, which is the spiritual triad. But anyway, in this particular case, the DK is calling the soul that type of consciousness which is expressing itself through the egoic lotus. He's calling it the spiritual ego, the middle principle, much influenced by Buddhi. And, you know, the solar angels are in many respects Buddhic beings, or they certainly have absorbed and expressed a great deal of Buddhi. And so it's not just a monastic center. That is, the egoic lotus is not just the expression of Manas, even though it's on the mental plane. It expresses the Buddhic quality, the love quality, the love wisdom quality, and its three central petals, the synthesis petals, are created through a downflow of Buddhi, probably monastically directed from the higher mental plane, the monastic permanent atom, but still a downflow of Buddhi. The reflection in mental substance of the monad. And, you know, this is the heart center of the monad. Heart center of the monad. And it, so much that comes from the monad is thought to come from this soul vehicle, egoic lotus, but in fact it comes first from the monad. And the monadic energies are primary, but the soul appropriates them or transmits them and is the sort of apparent author of those energies for the personality, even though their original source is the monad. So we have on the soul level spiritual love wisdom. Really, you know, it seems more a description of Buddhi. But let's just say the egoic lotus cannot contain the fullness of Buddhi, but through its love petals and through its general positioning as the vehicle of the second aspect, Buddhi becomes very important in its expression. And it's connected with the heart center of man. And the heart center, interestingly, this center is said to relate to the Buddhic plane, just as the head center is said to relate to the atmic plane. So, simply because the soul is being described here, the soul on the higher mental plane, does not mean that some of these terms do not also apply to the spiritual triad, and especially to the Buddhic level, which the Buddhi is the middle principle in the triadal level, Atma Buddhi Manas. And there is a sense in which the soul ray working through the egoic lotus as a whole, the major ray working through the egoic lotus, is a sub-ray of a monadic ray. I always, you know, sometimes we say, well, the soul ray is the only sub-ray of a monadic ray. I don't think that's true. I think, you know, the major monadic ray has on its own level a kind of subsidiary and changeable ray, whereas the ray of the major ray of the monad is not changeable through the eon, through the duration of a solar system. But I do believe that there are many who were human beings in the first solar system, basically on the third ray monad, or one of its included subsidiaries, who have to transfer in this solar system onto the second ray monad. That seems to be a requirement. Maybe it should have been done in the previous solar system, but there was a failure there. So the idea here, the individualized mind, it's very Venusian. Venus with its major second ray monad and minor sixth ray monad related to love. The individualized mind, and finally, the higher or abstract mind, and you know, we know where these are. The concrete mind, the lower four, the higher mind, the next two, three and two, and the abstract mind, excuse me, found on the first sublevel of the mental plane. Higher abstract mind, the transmitter of Buddhi, as when those three synthesis petals were constructed, there had to be a method by which the third subplane of the mental plane could be reached, and that was via the higher or abstract mind. So we have to be sure that when we use our abstract mind, it is not cold and arid, but actually a transmitter, a buddhi, which is not always the case. It's the reflection of the divine nature, I suppose, the reflection reflection of the logoic nature of the soul, per se, the egoic lotus, the causal body, that encapsulation of consciousness on the higher mental plane, is the reflector of the monad, then the abstract mind would be the reflector of the logoic nature or of the liberated monad. Intuitive love, understanding, and inclusiveness, and I would say if reflecting buddhi, or if transmitting buddhi, and beyond. If we just have the kind of abstract mentation, which is abstraction for its own sake, then the degree to which intuitive love and understanding and inclusiveness, all of them secondary virtues, could be transmitted is questionable. And this is connected with the head center, and I would say, you know, we have to have special attention to the heart and head center, which is the major head center of all and is connected with the monad and probably and beyond. Maybe it's even, you know, in some way connected with the cosmic mental plane and with the soul nature of the planetary logos and even the solar logos. So here we have sacrifice manifesting, but this will only occur when the nature is filled with love. So let's go back and see what we've looked at here. I have enumerated these three responses to the totality of divine aspects, especially on the cosmic physical plane, because they are related to the Antikarana,
The first three aspects are carried by the antikarana and must become defined, certainly on the mental plane, and conditioned, shaped according to how they can be applied in our life in the lower three worlds. And that kind of shaping is done, that kind of targeting is done on the mental plane. They are there on the mental plane to be found expressing themselves in substance. Okay, the three great aspects of divinity, let's see if I do this, A-O-D-S, aspects of divinity are found to be expressing through three foci on the mental plane, and we've just gone over them. The personality through the lower concrete mind, especially the center of personality integration and the mental unit are virtually one and the same. The soul through the monad through the individualized mind. See, the reflection in mental substance, this is really important, of the monad. Does it say that earlier? As a matter of fact, really, the mind is the reflection of Atma, spiritual will. So we're going very high. You know, basically, we are looking for the ways in which the three higher aspects, Atma, monad, well, let's just say monadic focus and logoic plane focus, express themselves through the subplanes of the mind and the three major centers there found. All right. And then the that which is divine, that which is of the logoic plane, that which is of Sanat Kumara and his focus upon the logoic plane where all seventh degree initiates focus, that is the reflection of the divine nature. And, you know, when we use the word divine, Dihe has told us, the term divine can apply to the monad, but also, of course, to that which focuses upon the logoic plane, as the monad does when it is liberated from the monadic vehicle. Does it have to be liberated from the monadic vehicle at the seventh initiation when the focus of that internal volatile essence becomes the seventh cosmic subplane, that is the logoic plane, or first cosmic subplane? Maybe. Maybe it does. And maybe the eighth initiation of transition allows venturing to the cosmic astral plane. It's called the initiation of transition, transition between cosmic physical plane and cosmic astral plane, although maybe we would say that it does not represent stabilization upon the cosmic astral plane. And maybe that only comes with the ninth initiation of refusal, which, eliminates any possibility of further compelled association with the cosmic physical plane, the refusal to have anything more to do with it until, I might say, until better trained. If it takes, if the cosmic paths lead to the cosmic astral plane and to the cosmic mental plane, then those in the past who have trodden the way of solar angelhood, becoming solar angels, have had to work on the path to Sirius using the cosmic astral plane. If indeed that was the way it was in the previous solar system, I'm assuming, maybe wrongly, but that the way it is now is the way it was, and that in order to reach Sirius, as a blissful dancing point of fanatical devotion, you have to have something to do with the cosmic astral plane. But, you know, you've gone through that initiation of refusal, the ninth initiation. That means that the solar angels have, you know, gone through all that, those initiations that are common to man. They have their own initiatory sequence, seven forms and nine initiations. I think that's common to every hierarchy. Interestingly, they make the number 16, but not to digress. So they've gone off to Sirius, at least by this theory. And when they come back, they may have refused association with the cosmic physical plane, but through sacrifice, they undergo a fall, which takes them again into the cosmic ethers. And so that's the first fall. And then DK tells us about the second fall, which takes us into the dense physical body of the planetary and solar logos, well, at least into the solar logos' dense physical body. And that's the second great sacrifice, the second fall. So even though one may pass through the ninth initiation, let us say, and in a way vow or determine to have nothing more to do with the cosmic physical plane, at least in terms of being compelled to have something to do with it, there could be a return to the cosmic physical plane under solar angelic sacrifice. Now, you know, that's unless, of course, the solar angels are not really initiates of the ninth degree. But it seems to me that to be an initiate of the seventh degree, like the Christ, it means that you are still working in this solar system and on the cosmic physical plane. To be an initiate of the eighth degree means you're working on the cosmic physical plane and the cosmic astral plane. To be initiate of the ninth degree means that your work is directed now on the cosmic astral plane and maybe beyond. We don't know the sequence of ascension there. There seems to be, you know, quite a distinction between what the Christ has achieved, high as it is, and what the solar angels trained on Sirius have achieved. I believe there were, you know, three types of individuals that were men in the previous solar system. One type were solar angels, and they are no longer men. They are now members of the fifth grade of hierarchy, but they were men in the previous solar system. Then there are those black magicians who were initiates in the previous solar system but chose to adhere to the methods and objectives of that system and emphasize them in the present system against the grain, so to speak, of evolutionary development in this present system. And then there were those who were the nomads or the wanderers, the monads, who had achieved individualization but were not necessarily initiates, and they not initiates and came over into this solar system. So had the solar angels achieved initiation of the ninth degree, or were there fewer initiations offered at that time? Anyway, the one thing of which we can be sure, well, at least it seems a probability, is that their training had to take place on the cosmic astral plane as they ventured to Sirius. It seems to have been the case. Now, of course, it could be incorrect. They somehow may have, maybe the path to Sirius in those days could be taken on the highest cosmic physical level, the logoic level, but there's nothing we're given to point towards that, and the rays of Sirius, being, I think, essentially a sixth ray submonad and a second ray major monad with a fifth ray soul, just like Venus, at least in my view, would have necessitated, I think, some training on the cosmic astral plane. It does seem that they have achieved the cosmic astral plane, work upon it, and have returned sacrificially to experience two falls, a first and a second. Now that's really a heavy, heavy sacrifice, a double sacrifice, amazingly so. There are necessarily, he says, other arrangements of these aspects in manifestation. He doesn't want to overwhelm us by giving us all possibilities, but the above will serve to indicate the relation of the monad soul personality as they express themselves with certain focus stations or points upon the mental plane. That's the whole objective here. So learning how the higher foci express themselves upon the mental plane, spiritual will, the monad, and the liberated monad on the divine plane or the logoic plane. Well, you know, these are words to us, and we try to keep the words straight. They are not experiences for us. There are so many veils that have to lift for us before real experiences will occur. But if we keep our minds straight about these things and don't become confused and work with clarity, then the experiences, I do believe, will be closer than if we try to approach in some sort of aspirational confusion. In humanity, however, the major realization to be grasped at the present point in human evolution is the need to relate consciously and effectively, the major realization, the spiritual triad, the soul on its own plane, and the personality in its threefold nature, a three, a three, and a three. Threefold triad, threefold soul from one method of reckoning, and the threefold personality. You can get other numbers in there if you want, but it's a ninefold connection in an important way. And this is done through the creative work of the personality. Okay. The magnetic power of the triad. Remembering the triad is an extension of that first ray part of ourselves, the monad, at least carrying the father aspect more than any other aspect of our nature carries that father aspect. So this is done through the creative work of the personality, you know, using the third ray, which DK prefers to call the ray of creative intelligence, the magnetic power of the triad. You know, before we begin invoking and projecting, we have been summoned magnetically by the spiritual triad and the conscious activity of the soul. We can call this the mediator. The mediator who is using the bridging ability, which is inherent in the solar angels, coming forth in order to connect the higher triad and the lower triad of man. That kind of connection might not have been necessary if there had not been the failure on the moon chain, but to keep the time-space schedule of our planetary logos and presumably therefore of our solar logos, the coming forth of the solar angels in a particular way, as is demonstrated on our planet particularly, was necessary. And all of this, this connection is all via the triple thread, which has the three aspects of divinity represented in it. This connection is all via the triple thread, the Antikarana. Now, in a way, it bypasses what we normally call the egoic lotus of the soul, but the soul is definitely involved because It is only the soul-infused personality which can really work creatively to build. And I guess the solar angel does everything it can to facilitate the construction of the Antikarana, even though, you know, it is in a way standing to the side and letting the soul-infused personality do what it must in response to the magnetism of the spiritual triad. This is amazing stuff. You know, it's very advanced teaching. It was given out 70 years ago, if you think about it, but think about how few of us as human beings have really absorbed this. So you can see, therefore, why so much emphasis is laid by esotericists upon fusion, unity, or blending. These are our words. They are largely second-rate words, although the blending power of the third logos is cited in Cosmic Fire. Only when this is intelligently realized can the disciple begin to weave the threads into a bridge of light, which contains more than simply light. It contains consciousness and power, which eventually becomes the lighted way across which he can pass into the higher worlds of being. And of course, they're always here. It's not like we have some vertical Antikarana that we're really dealing with. DK at one point tells us how all of these constructions don't really exist, but they are more heuristic. They are for purposes of teaching us how to make certain adjustments in our energy system which will allow this passage. The symbolism that we use is not necessarily the reality. Thus he liberates himself from the three worlds. It is in this world cycle preeminently a question of fusion and of expressing in full waking consciousness full waking awareness, three major states of consciousness. It's so deep, isn't it, friends? You know, as we go over this ponderingly or ponderously, depending on how you might want to look at it, such depth has been delivered to us, and such a need to be very careful with each sentence, each phrase, each word, even. Because DK is not, sometimes he concentrates excessively on the use of particular word or phrase, but he's not using words lightly. So look, this is going to be for us the end of Rays and Initiations webinar commentary program 31, and we started at 464, and we are, where are we? We're on 466, making a great progress of two pages at a time here. I realize I'm filling it with a lot of, you know, extra kind of commentary, but just to fill out the process, make it perhaps a little less academic and a little more experiential and approachable. Beginning of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary, Program 32, and we'll begin on page 466. Yeah. So many factors here that can easily be passed over and not retained. It's these three things. You know, in other words, for humanity as a whole, it's not yet the monad, but of course, for initiates and those who are becoming initiates, even probationary initiates, it is the monad too. But if we learn how to do this, connecting at least to the monastic permanent atom and then successively to other parts of the spiritual triad, other aspects, we will be connecting to the presence of the pure being of the monad, even though encapsulated and not liberated, encapsulated in the Temple of Ezekiel, the monadic vehicle. But still, we will experience something of the nature of being through the use of the Antahkarana, and eventually we'll be able to throw the scaffolding away, you know. I guess when you can levitate, you don't need ladders. And after the house is painted, you don't need the scaffolding that allowed you to paint it. But first, step by step, we are building using the concrete mind, creating a solid scaffolding for our growing experience with the higher realms of nature. Okay, I'm just going an hour at a time now. I'm tempted to do more, but since it's been a while since I've been doing this, a month or so, I'll just, for a little while, go an hour at a time. So we'll go on to program number 32, and at the next point, and we'll continue working through this magnificent section on the building of the Antahkarana and its purposes and its uses. Okay. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.